Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick with you. Chase and Derek at Almost Friday in downtown Nashville, the Holiday Inn at 4th and Peabody. Willie is in Anaheim, California. And we say hello now to Rick Stockstill, head coach of the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders, fresh off a Hawaii Bowl win, 25-23 over San Diego State. Coach, how you doing?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're fantastic. I know that you're feeling good. It made the holiday better because your team got a hard-fought win to close out the season, your eighth win of the season. But watching that game and talking about it, Coach, this is why you play 60 minutes. Your team was down 14-0, but you didn't give up. You scratched and clawed, and you ended up getting the victory. I know you had to be proud of your guys.
Extremely. Kind of just typified the character of our team. You know, you look at it, you go back to the last regular season game, you know, we're down whatever, 4 or 5 points, 3 or 4, whatever it was, with, you know, a couple minutes left in the game, and we find a way to come back and win that one. And just these guys got a never-give-up attitude. We come to work every day, whether we win on Saturday or lose on Saturday. You know, we always came back on Sunday with a great work ethic. We didn't listen to, you know, all the outside stuff, and just whether it was good or bad, you just stay focused and control what you can control, and that's how hard we work and how hard we compete, how hard we prepare, and that's what we did. And that's a tough trip, as you know, going for an East Coast team going to Hawaii. You know,
yeah.
We got there Monday afternoon or Monday right before dinner, and then you practice Tuesday morning, and that was by far our worst practice of the year. It was just terrible. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of it was due to that flight and all that, but I didn't tell them that, and just that was pretty good. And just, you know, we responded, you know, the next 2 days a lot better. So just proud of our team, man. That was a really, really good football team that we beat in San Diego State. You know, they had won at least 8 games every year since 2012, except the 2020 season when they didn't play that many games. And they won 12 games last year and had just about everybody returning. So that was a heck of a win for our guys.
Rick Stockstill is with us, MTSU head football coach. I feel like I can ask you this because I know you think things out, and you've been around this game a long time. Bowl games and how you prep for bowl games have changed quite a bit because college football, college sports has changed quite a bit. There's a lot of different distractions that you have to deal with as a head coach day in and day out. And used to, I think, bowl games, no matter what the bowl game was, had more prestige. There was pride, like, hey, let's end our season on a high note. But, you know, there's a lot of other things out there. A player could opt out. A player could enter the portal, all those things. So how has your mindset as a head coach changed in getting your guys ready to close out so much hard work that has gone into a season with a bowl game?
Well, Warren, you can ask me anything you want. I'll tell you everything.
I know. You tell me straight up.
Yeah. So to me, you know, it's two things. It's twofold. One, and that's how I approached it with our guys. I said, you know, you owe it to each other. You owe it to everybody in this room to give your best effort to finish this year. And it's so you're finishing, you're closing one chapter, or you're closing one book, and then you're also using it to open up the next book. And, you know, that's why I said this is a great opportunity for us to close this season, you know, on a positive note, and it's also a great springboard moving forward into next year, giving you confidence, you know, and a little extra juice, you know, coming back into, you know, when we come back January 17th, 18th, whatever it is. You know, so it's twofold. And for people out there who think that bowl games don't mean anything, you should have seen, you know, tell them to come into our locker room. Tell them to come in on our field. Tell them to, you know, you don't think those Oregon players were fired up last night when they beat North Carolina. You know, bowl games, you know, there's only 10 teams that in the country that are going to be conference champions. There's only four teams that are going to make the playoffs. You know, so there's a lot of work. These guys put in a lot of work, you know, outside those 14 teams, you know, that bowls mean something. Bowls are, that's the foundation of college football. That's what this, you know, college football was built on. And to me, I'll fight anybody that says bowl games have lost their meaning. They only care about what's going to happen tomorrow or Saturday in those playoff games. Ask these players, you know, that you know, our players did just as much as what the Georgia players did. And so we were fired up. We're proud of going to the Hawaii Bowl, to all the bowl games that we've been to, and it means something to us. So I use it as to finish what you started and then use it as a springboard going into this winter workouts and spring practice and summer when this whole grind starts all over again.
You're absolutely right, Coach. It may have changed for those that are watching it, but I think for the players and the coaches, it remains the same. You always want to go out on a winning note. Guys get, you know, they get excited about participating in a sport that they love and can potentially go out and win. So you're absolutely right about that. I think it's changed for a lot of other people outside of football. But when you're talking about the purists, those who coach football, those who play football, I think it still means the same. Now, Coach, your defense gave up 14 early points. But after that, they gave up only 9 points. What was done or said after San Diego State was able to get those quick 14 points and go up 14-0? Because pretty much your defense shut them down. They were not able to run the ball effectively. They threw the ball through the air, but still, to only come up with 9 points after scoring 14 points, that's big for your defense.
Yeah, I thought our defense was outstanding. I thought they were relentless. I thought they were swarming. They were attacking. You know, you look at their first drive, you know, we got them stopped there at midfield, whatever, and they fake a punt to get down there, you know, and scored on that possession. Then the next possession, you know, they hit a screen where we missed a tackle and the guy went 73 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, we gave up an explosive play. We gave up a big play on that. And then, you know, the fake punt put them down there. So I thought our defense was very consistent, you know, the whole game. You know, we got 3 interceptions, recovered 2 fumbles. The one fumble was the last play of the game. So, but I thought our defense was outstanding. They just, they harassed the quarterback. They put pressure on him. We stopped the running game. You know, just, and then other than that, that 73-yard play there on the screen, you know, we did a really, really good job of keeping the ball in front of us.
Coach Rick Stockstill is on the line with us. Middle Tennessee gets the big win in their bowl game against San Diego State. And, Coach, I want to ask you, you had a really interesting run there during the middle of the season. You had the huge win against Miami. Then you guys lose 4 out of 5. What was the key to maybe turning it back around to finish strong the way you guys did and win your last 4?
You know, like I said, you know, we came to work every day. And, you know, we had a stretch in there where we lost 3 games against 3 really good teams. And, you know, we didn't play probably as good as we would have liked in those games, but, you know, we got beat by 3 good teams, and then we went on the road and beat a really good UTEP team, and then we come back and we lost to La Tech when our quarterback, you know, was injured and didn't play very good. And, you know, so that's the one game you look at that, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, maybe, whatever. Had he not gotten hurt, I think, you know, I'm not saying we'd have won, but I think we'd have had a better opportunity to. But just the consistency, you know, and you guys know, heck, you've done hurt. You never get too high, you know, we get too low. You know, you can't, you know, you're going to, I'm a positive guy. I'm a upbeat guy, and you know, you lost a game, and you know, you got to come back and go to work. You beat Miami, you got to come back and go to work. You know, everybody thought the sky was falling, you know, after we lost the first game, and you know, we run off three straight, then we lose three straight, we win a game, we lose a game, we win four straight. So just, you know, a football season's a marathon. I've said it a million times that you just, I believe in our guys. I told them at halftime, you know, you know, of the bowl game that I believed in them. I believe we're going to win. This is what we got to do and how we're going to do it. And, you know, you never lose that hope. You never, you said it earlier, you play the whole time, 60 minutes, or sometimes it takes more than that, but you play it till that final whistle goes off.
Coach, one last one for me. You have, of course, this evolution that's going through. The game's always evolving, but now you've got the NIL and the transfer portal. I'm curious, your view of your league in Conference USC, how it's holding up with how the game, with this dynamic that's going on right now?
It's a pain in the butt, I guess. I would. You know, it's so hard now to manage your roster because you never know. And just like last year, we lost four starting offensive linemen to the portal. You know, that we're coming back. You know, we lose three starting senior receivers. We lose, you know, a starting corner. We lose a starting safety to the portal. You know, we lose a starting linebacker to the portal. We lose like 11 guy starters on both sides of the ball that are supposed to come back that, you know, you spend time developing these guys, and when you got them going, you know, they go in the portal. So, you know, it's hard for everybody. I'm not, you know, making excuses. Everybody's dealing with the same thing. The thing that's hard about Conference USA, I think, in the portal, is we're not signing ready-made guys. We're not signing the 6'5", 310-pound guy that's ready to step in. He's going to Alabama. He's going to Florida State. He's going to Tennessee, okay? We've got to sign that 6'3", 265, 70-pound guy and develop him. And then in a couple years, he's 300 pounds. And now he's ready, but, oh, now he leaves. You know, so I think that's what the group of five schools, you know, are dealing with. The NIL, I mean, there's no way we're going to compete with the group of fives. There's no way we're going to compete with, you know, all these Texas A&M's or whoever's, Alabama's, Power Fives, Miami's, you know, that are, you know, putting all this money out there. We'll never be able to compete with that. But if we can get to the point where we can get them a little bit of something, it would help. But no, I think you're going to see a bigger separation, you know, between the haves and the have-nots, you know, as this thing keeps going the next, you know, handful of years.
Well, Coach, congrats again on the win in Hawaii. I know that made Christmas even better, and Happy New Year to you and the family. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Happy New Year to you guys. Appreciate you.
That's Rick Stockstill, head coach at Middle Tennessee State University. It's funny, when we were there a week or so ago at the Murphy Center, I drove around campus afterwards. I got lost because I didn't know my way around anymore. But I realized it was 10 years to the day that I walked across that stage and graduated MTSU. Coach Stock and I came in at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So my freshman year was his first year at MTSU. So we go way back for sure. Coming up next, there are some rumblings of something that could happen tonight. I want to get your guys' take on it. We'll discuss that next. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for the NFL pregame tonight from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D. Mace will be there from 4:30 to 6:30, not 5 to 7, 4:30 to 6:30, prior to the Titans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The NFL pregame is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. So, I don't know. I don't consider this reporting. I think there's just speculation. Mm-hmm. And got to be careful with speculation.
Exactly.
Especially on Twitter. But I've seen in a few different places of people throwing out that perhaps Josh Dobbs could start tonight over Malik Willis for the Titans. He's been with the team for less than 2 weeks. But it is a possibility. With them sitting just about everybody, you kind of have to figure that you're going to have Malik Willis if you make the playoffs. Would you agree with that move if that's the direction, Derek, that they decide to go?
Are you doing this for the team's sake, or are you doing this for the player's sake, the player? Are you doing this because you think with Joshua Dobbs this team has a better opportunity to win the football game? Well, if that's the case, then some of these players you possibly have sitting that are hurt and not injured, then they need to be playing. Or do you believe that, you know, with this team, the way it's constructed, that putting Malik Willis in is going to do more harm to this young man than not?
Right.
And if Dobbs do start, I think it's the latter, what I said. Because, Willie, I said this yesterday. Yes, there hasn't been any progress in Malik Willis's. I think it's been stagnant with his him getting better as a player. And I think that's twofold. I think it's on a player, and I think it's on the person that is coaching him, his quarterback's coach. What are you doing to make sure this young man gets better each and every day, each and every time he goes out there on a Sunday or a Thursday or a Saturday to play? Is he getting better? Do we see those things, those tangible things that in our mind believe he's getting better? Are we seeing that? I said, no, we're not seeing it. So it falls on both the coach and the player. But even with that, I think if you put him in a situation where your offensive line is not good, you don't have many pass catchers, and then your running back potentially is not playing, I don't see under any scenario that is good for Malik Willis. He hasn't played well up until this point. What in the hell makes you think he's going to play well if you throw him out there under that circumstances? I think it further crushes his confidence as he goes out there. So if he doesn't play, I hope it's because they don't want this to further damage the young man because he's not in an ideal situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me give maybe a slightly different angle on that. Because D. Mace and I have been talking about Malik Willis a lot this week. And I think it is just painfully obvious to me anyway that he's just not ready to be able to move the needle. Right, about all he can do, best case scenario, is maybe have a couple of runs, try not to turn the ball over, and hope that you win with a special teams play and great defense. And that's just not going to be good enough right now. Maybe it was when they had everybody and they won in Houston. And it was about the most conservative game plan you could have. But the bottom line is, it's very evident that if it gets to 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, they can't even call a play that involves any intricate reading of the defense yet. He's just not ready to process it at this point. They're afraid to call it, it seems like. And he's thrown a couple of really bad picks. So my thought on the Dobbs, if they're speculating starting Dobbs, it would be because it's a tryout. You have to try to assess who gives you a better chance to win against Jacksonville. If you're trying to salvage a division title out of the rubble here, and Josh Dobbs gives you a better chance to beat Jacksonville, you got to see if he can do anything. Now, he's not in a great position tonight, but maybe he can at least show you that he's a little bit ahead of Malik Willis right now, and you just have to scrap the Malik Willis situation at least until next year, and then figure it out then. But like Derek was saying, I feel like they've put him in a position to fail, Willis, because he's just not ready at this point. Only the coaches can say internally, hey, look, he hasn't looked good so far, but he's on the verge of a breakthrough here. I'm not seeing it, but if they're not seeing it either, then why not just try Dobbs and see what he's looking for, see what he looks like.
Sure. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know the roster you're putting out there tonight. You're not going to have Henry.
Literally have nothing to lose tonight. You have nothing to lose tonight.
No, this game means nothing. This is a preseason game. That's basically what this is for the Titans. It means something for Dallas, but it means nothing for the Titans, because whether you win or lose tonight, Jacksonville is still winner take all for the division and a spot in the playoffs, because mathematically they don't have a shot at the wild card. I mean, it all hinges on next week. So I get sitting some of these guys that have been banged up. So that's why I look at it as you go to Malik and go, hey, if we need you, we'll put you in, but let's rest you up. Let's give you another week to kind of process things and go to Dobbs tonight and see what he's got. Because Dobbs is not the savior here. Okay.
No.
We know that. But he has more experience, sort of. I'd have to go look at all his meaningful snaps, but he has more experience, and, you know, this is kind of where you're at with the roster.
This is where you're at with Willis. This is where you're at with Nick Willis. He's just not ready. He's below replacement level. And maybe if Dobbs is replacement level, maybe you can do some things with Burks. Let's just see if Burks can catch a couple balls on the field. I want to see if Hassan Haskins can take advantage of this opportunity tonight. Let's see if he can run the ball. They've got to make a decision next year on who's going to be alongside of Derrick Henry, and how do we get the most out of Derrick Henry next year if they're moving in that direction?
They got to make a decision if Derrick Henry's going to be Derrick Henry next year, if they're going to have Derrick Henry next
year. Totally, of course.
I mean, I was Ryan next. Porth was in town, and he says hello, by the way. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this yesterday. He was buying his daughter a Derrick Henry jersey, and he goes, well, I can probably get a few more years out of this. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. If they decide to blow it up, why would you hang on to him? Get what you can for him. I mean, that's what you said.
Yeah, so. I think the only person is safe in a sort of restructure of your roster is the quarterback. I think that's the only person safe.
We'll coming up next, we'll have more of your phone calls as we weigh in on should Josh Dobbs get the start tonight for the Tennessee Titans against the Dallas Cowboys. We will discuss that coming up next. But can you make your parlays pop this holiday season? You can win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from my friends at Superbook Sports. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook is going to give you a $10 bonus voucher. That's your holiday bonus, courtesy of my pals at Superbook Sports. Rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting Superbook. And it's very simple. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. The Cowboys are a whopping 13.5-point favorite tonight over the Tennessee Titans. But if you want to put a parlay together for this week, you got some options like Tampa Bay -3, Detroit -6 against Chicago, Cleveland +2 on the road at the Commanders. It doesn't matter. Parlay those whatever three you want together and get to winning. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Yes, technically I'm still on vacation, guys, but, you know, I missed you.
Hey, well,
and we're at almost Friday. We're at almost Friday today.
It is almost Friday.
And it
seriously.
Is almost Friday.
Yeah.
Today is Thursday, so it's almost Friday. Come by and see us. We're downtown Nashville. It's the Holiday Inn at 4th and Peabody. You can come in, you can see Matthew, you can see Lance, you can sign up to win their merch pack that they have. Also, it's a really cool place to hang out. They're going to have pregame happy hour from 3 to 6, and then they'll have a game day menu throughout the Titans and Cowboys game tonight. I've been in here several times. I got some games you can play. Pretty good at the flip cup, the beer pong. They got all that. So
there we go.
It's a very, very cool spot. But, you know, I missed you guys, so I wanted to come hang out a little bit. Maybe sing happy birthday later to Nick. Who knows? But taking your call, 615-737-1025, and text our phone line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Should Josh Dobbs start for the Titans tonight? There's speculation that he could potentially start in place of Malik Willis tonight for the Tennessee Titans. Chris wants to weigh in. Chris, welcome in. What do you think about Josh Dobbs?
Hey, buddy, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing good.
Well, first of all, before I even say anything else, I want to thank Derek Mason for all you did for us. I have your jerseys hanging in my room alongside my wife's shrine. She passed away a couple years ago. I'm a Raven hater, like most Titans fans, but I still have your Raven jersey hanging up in my room.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you, man. I think Dobbs should start tonight, and I think it's a great idea that he will start. I think Dobbs has got some weapons. I mean, he's played under Ben Roethlisberger and Baker Mayfield. I know you guys seen the run he had in the preseason where he went down the sideline, right?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was a long – I know it was a preseason run, but he had a long run down the sideline when he was playing with the Browns. But I think Dobbs should play ball tonight. I would really like to see him. I don't think Malik Willis is really going to be that great. I think he's got a lot of talent, but he's just not going to cut it in the NFL. I think Dobbs is probably the better answer for a backup quarterback. I'm going to hang up and let you guys speak about that.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate it. you know, he might be right in a sense of at this particular time, Joshua Dobbs might be what's best for the team. The jury's still out on Malik Willis. You know, I think that, you know, in off season, if he doesn't come back and if he's not progressing during the off season into these camps, then I think the Titans really need to think about, is he going to be at best, is he going to be our, you know, backup quarterback? Can he be our backup quarterback at best? And if not, then, you know, you have to move on. I'm like, you know, I'm not like you guys. I'm not giving up on the young man because I think that he needs to be coached up and he needs to be put in a situation that's advantageous to him. Any rookie quarterback under these circumstances would not fare well. I'm not saying that they would look like Malik Willis because Malik Willis has looked, you know, lost more times than not, but you put a quarterback, any good quarterback, as a rookie, name any one of them you want to name, you put them in this situation, how do they thrive? They don't.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to thrive. They can't protect the quarterback.
Exactly. That's
whoever the quarterback is, you can't call slow developing plays, you know, seven-step drops. You don't have time, and you don't have that many weapons. It's a really tough. So I look at that. It's like, let's say I had – a pitcher that was coming up from the minors, and it's a pennant race. It's a big game. You know, what's fair to really ask of that guy? If I know this pitcher's not ready, he's got tools, he may turn into a good pitcher someday. But, look, I don't have anybody else. I got to throw him in there. So I throw him in there, and he gets racked for a couple of starts. Should I keep putting him back out there? No, I got to send him back down. I got to go back to the drawing board. He's not ready. So let's take the offseason. Let's develop it, and let's take a veteran guy that he may not have a very high ceiling, but he might be the better answer right now.
The Titans aren't the only team that have been in this position before, but I am curious of something, of a rule that the league should look at, and that is the third quarterback rule of – because right now, if you keep three quarterbacks, an emergency quarterback, it counts against the roster. Now, I know you have practice squad game day call-ups that you can do, and you can circumvent it like that. But I think the Titans, if they had their druthers, Malik Willis would not have been the backup. The only reason he was the backup is because they didn't want to spend an extra roster spot on a third quarterback. And so they did what they did, where they put Logan Woodside on the practice squad. He eventually got claimed and signed to an active roster by Atlanta. And they had hoped that because Tannehill had been healthy his entire tenure with the Titans, that they could squeak by and Malik Willis would never see the field. But if the rules were different, where you could have that, you know, that third quarterback, and I'm talking about game day actives too, you could have that third quarterback that doesn't count against your game day actives. You know, maybe they give you an extra roster spot for an emergency quarterback. Then that changes the whole landscape of things. Because I kind of felt like that they were forced into that position, even though, yes, they invested a third-round pick in him. They wanted to see what they had with him. But we all knew at a training camp, the kid wasn't ready. The kid really wasn't ready to be a backup, but he was the backup based on the rules and, you know, the roster spots.
Well, again, I go back to why did you feel you needed to make the decision to make him your backup and not Woodside? To me, it looks as if you didn't think Woodside's development was on a pace that you know would make him a backup quarterback. You felt that Malik Willis, with his raw talent, would be your better option. If that is indeed the case, then I go back to who is coaching them, who is developing them. I understand the player has their part in it, but you hire these coach and these sort of professionals to do their job. You bring them in as quarterbacks coach, as offensive coordinators. Why? Because you feel they are one of the 32 best in the National Football League. So what is O'Hara doing to develop these quarterbacks? That should be everybody's question. We're pointing at Malik Willis and saying it's all his fault. Well, what is being done to develop him? What was being done to develop Woodside?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. That's an absolute fair question.
Because you basically released him when you put him on a practice squad. And what you said is he wasn't good enough.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your calls and your texts on Josh Dobbs. Should he start tonight? And there's an interesting note from Pete Thamel out of college football, too. We'll share that coming up next here on Chase Willie and D-Mace. But I've been telling you about Hair Club for a while now. You've heard me talking about them. Look, you can see me on the video stream. I got some power outages upstairs. I want to take care of that. I want to get thicker, fuller hair. And I love my hair. I love my look. So I wanted to do something about it. That's why I called Hair Club, as D-Mace laughs at me. Hair Club, no matter what it is, restoration, regrowth, small problems, big problems, they have the answers, and they have answers that are tailor-made just for you. All you need to do is go in for a free consultation, and they'll help you out with whatever your hair situation may be. Fill out the form at hairclub.com/chase, that's my name, C-H-A-S-E, to schedule your free consultation, and they'll give you 10% off anything that you happen to purchase just because I sent you. Or you can text Chase, that's me, C-H-A-S-E, to 694-247, that's 694-247, and get things going. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life.
What is Josh and his progress to this point?
I think it's really good. I think he's put a lot of time in. I think he's been in a lot of different offenses. I think he's working hard, to learn what we're doing and, you know, being able to manage the game and understand the operation and all those different things.
Mike Vrabel from Tuesday talking about Joshua Dobbs, as there is speculation afoot that he could start tonight against the Dallas Cowboys. Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, at Almost Friday in downtown Nashville, 4th Avenue and Peabody Street here in the Holiday Inn, and also Willie Donick in Anaheim, California. You can call or text 615-737-1025. Several want to weigh in on this. Gary in Hollow Rock says absolutely he should start. That guy's a rocket scientist, which is true. He is a rocket scientist. an unnamed texter says Malik is not a seven-drop QB. Moves and gun. If the coaches can't let him do that, then he doesn't fit the system. He's a bad pick. He also says if Dobbs starts over Willis, then I don't want to hear that J-Rob firing had an impact on the team. I guess because J-Rob didn't make this move, but okay. I still think it could have to this point. Let's go.
I mean, they are where they are. They are where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking. I heard a little optimism in the voice. You know, again, I wasn't looking for it when that aired live, and I was listening at the time. But I seem to hear some optimism in Mike Vrabel's voice there, kind of hinting that, we're thinking about this. And I can't help but thinking so many times over the last couple of weeks, last week in particular, the look on Vrabel's face at the end of some poor plays by the offense, where he's just thinking, we're paralyzed, right? We just don't have a lot in our portfolio right now to make it happen offensively. If we can't run it right at him, it's not happening. Now, so it had to be talked about over the course of the weekend. Should we try this, especially given the circumstances where you have nothing to lose? This is kind of a tryout. Who gives you a better chance to beat Jacksonville?
Yeah. John on our text line says Trevor Lawrence is a perfect example. He had an injury-riddled team last year, a bad coaching situation, nothing going his way. No QB would have done much better. Now, a year later, he looks like he did at Clemson with a better situation. Willis isn't Lawrence, but he needs time. I know where he's going with that, but he needs a lot of time.
Yeah, he's going to need some time. I understand what the texter is saying. One, under this circumstance, who thrives? Mm-hmm. Under the circumstance that Trevor Lawrence was in, who thrives in that situation? We saw with Trevor Lawrence, and we're seeing with Trevor Lawrence, with the new coaching staff, a better team, he's being coached the right way. He looks like the number one pick in the draft now. Now, he still has some way to go, but they see it in him now. Last year, they didn't see it in him. Why? Because the coaching was horrible. Malik Willis falls sort of in that same category. Does he have the talent that Trevor Lawrence has? No. But you can't tell me he's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
I think he can get better, but it all depends on coaching. How do you coach him to be a better player? Part of it is on him. And I'm sure he's going to do his job, do what he needs to do to get better. But what are you doing? And nobody's bringing this up. It goes back to Woodside and now Malik Willis. These quarterbacks are not being developed, you know. But it's being overshadowed by other things that are going on with this team. Again, these guys are not being developed. You show me where Woodside was developed.
Right.
You show me where Malik Willis has been developed up to this far. We're sitting here saying he has not gotten better.
Right. And how often do we say in the summer, philosophically, would it not be better for quarterbacks like Malik Willis and several other around the league to play in something like the USFL, play some games? I think they need to reconsider how they develop quarterbacks in the league. But nobody ever wants to go down that road. Oh, they might get hurt. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Well, nobody's developing quarterbacks very well that I can think of. It's rare, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks that just never get there. And I think there would be more. You would be in a better position if, A, what you said, Chase, if they designated the third quarterback and say everybody's going to have three quarterbacks.
Yep.
Keep them around. Don't worry about if you're going to lose them to the practice squad. Develop your quarterback behind the scenes. Keep three. It doesn't count against the roster. That's really dumb that they don't do that already.
I agree.
They used to do that. They need to do that again. Designate the spot. It's only for quarterbacks.
It's only for quarterbacks.
There's
it's
no
like
way
your
you can't
shirt.
Manipulate the roster and sneak another tight end in there on game day. No. This is for a third quarterback like Malik Willis that we would like to develop. Then you could have, as you said, Chase, Logan Woodside or some other veteran that's there to be an option for you so you don't get into this position. But on top of that, have a developmental league that you actually have a farm team. I think that would really help, especially young quarterbacks.
Yeah, because to your point, if I'm a college coach, let's say I'm a college coach and I'm in a pretty good program. I'm not going to say an elite program, but I'm pretty good. It's not my job to develop a quarterback for the NFL. It happens. It's a part of the process. It's you get that experience, but it's not my job to develop that kid for later on. It's my job to develop him to help us win as a team now. That's the bottom line, and I think people don't always see that. Now, it's a natural part of the process that, you know, you're going to get you're going to develop and you're going to play more, but I mean, Derek, like, you've seen it. You're a part of it. Like, you develop more once you get to the league because the systems are different. The talent level is obviously different. It's completely different from what you're used to in college. And I think to Willie's point, if you had another step that was in the middle of going college to the NFL, it would help some of these, you know, players that, you know, aren't your top picks.
Yeah, I mean, players.
Not just quarterbacks.
Players are – it's stages for an individual player. Like you said, you are developing guys to make your system better. Everybody's not meant to go to the NFL. Everybody doesn't have the talent to go to the NFL. But you're developing that particular player, whether it be a quarterback, anybody else, for the betterment of your team. Now, if he's that good, then he will make the NFL. If he's that lucky, he will, you know, get a chance to play in the NFL. But that's not my goal as a head coach of a college team. My goal is to prepare these men, to prepare these young men to potentially, you know, to be men as they segue out of college and to, you know, make our team the best team we can possibly make them. Not try to get him ready and develop him for the NFL. If that happens, great. You know, but if it doesn't, it wasn't my job, you know.
Right.
So when you get in the NFL, if you were lucky enough to have had NFL coaches that coached you in college, which I did, that curve is not such a long curve that you have to maneuver. You come in.
You know who's to blame here, Derek?
Who is that?
The owners, to me. Like, I think the owners cannot think outside the box. What you hear the owners say is, hey, let's play the 18th game. Hey, we added the 17th game. Let's get more money. Let's play the 18th game. Instead of saying, let's develop players, we can make that money. You don't think you could take over one of these developmental leagues and set up a farm system and get a good TV deal and take that money? You could build the revenue that way, and the league would be way, way better off, in my opinion. It would take more work, right? It would take a good strategy, a good business plan, but they don't want to work. They just want to sit back and, oh, well, let's play 18 games. Let's ask the players to play another game, and let's just do it that way and grab the money there.
Well,
that's what really disappoints me about this whole thing, because there are a ton of teams. There's always a team or two that end up in this situation.
I think I think the guys that would benefit most from a farm league or minor league, let's say a professional minor league, because they consider college is like a minor league. The guys that would benefit most, you're right, because now they're paying, they can get paid. The guys that benefit most from that are offensive linemen and quarterbacks. Guys that can learn in systems and it not be that pressure on them to perform, you know, because they were a first rounder or a second rounder or a third rounder. They can make that progression to developing, and then once they, you know, either they develop after 2 or 3 years or they don't.
Sure.
I know now, you know, not having them on my roster and trying to figure out how do I develop this player, or even if I can, again, what are you doing to develop these players, Tennessee Titans? What are you doing to develop your quarterback? Because it seems like the last two quarterbacks have not been – they're not being developed the way that they need to have the ability to come in and win you football games.
Real quick, Doug, let's squeeze Doug in real fast, talking about Josh Dobbs. Doug, welcome in.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys, to you coming up. Thank you for the time to be on the air. But I'll go about Dobbs. And then before the breaking news came, I said, win, lose, or draw, he's one of the quarterbacks, one of the two quarterbacks on this squad. And you need to see what he's going to be able to do under live bullets. Then the breaking news came, refer back to statement number one. You still need to see what he can do under live bullets. But I also think about what D-Mace said as far as development. I never thought about it that way. If you're not developing players in whatever position, Woodside never got better. That tells you something right there. Malik Willis is not getting better. That tells you something. So, guys, again, under live bullets, you got two games. You got to see what you got. I agree with the call. And catching Dallas by surprise by not knowing who you're going to get. So that was a good coaching call.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Yeah, Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com, is reporting Titans plan to play Josh Dobbs at quarterback. He's also reporting Derrick Henry and Danico Autry definitely will not play for the Titans tonight against the Cowboys. That is from Paul Kaharsky. Coming up next, we'll get to silly underdog picks here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.